If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. On the reverse of your prayer sheet is that passage with some outlining. 1 Timothy 5 and 1. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place and before your word. Help us to focus on what you have to say here to us. Whether this is something that we need to learn and know right now and for today, or whether this is one of those principles we need to file away. Understand it, believe it. It's a part of our commitment to your word and to obedience, so that when the time comes, we will be prepared to live out your word in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your presence. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul begins this section, which goes all the way through verse 16. But given this situation, I don't think we want to go that far today. But he begins with this little note that I've included as our introduction. Remember, he's told us a lot about the challenges that are being experienced there in Ephesus. Timothy is a young man. We dealt with that last week. And the challenges of dealing with disobedient family members. And so Paul makes these recommendations in terms of when it's time to confront, when it's time to, and remember this word, come alongside, do it with a particular attitude. For instance, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father. This is a great phrase. Paul uses two really good descriptive words. Don't sharply rebuke, but rather appeal. Now, this can happen in any church at any time. A pastor finds himself in a situation where one of the older men has fallen into sin of some sort. Or, just as with Jesus' example in Matthew 18, pastor has heard he might have done something. Well, pastor has to confront. Pastor has to talk with him. But does pastor have to slam him? Sharply rebuke him, as to use Paul's words? No, absolutely not. Appeal to him and come alongside him. That's a form of the very same word that Jesus used to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit will come alongside you in your life and in your experience. So, pastor, when it's time to confront someone, rather than lowering the boom, just come alongside. Ask questions. Listen to answers. As with Jesus' example in Matthew 18, you may find out you've gotten wrong information. You maybe need to go back to the guy who told you what he was sure he knew. On the other hand, you may find out that, yes, indeed, this older man has ignored God's word and needs to be redirected. How do you redirect him? Redirect him like you would your dad. Think of him in terms of how you would respond to dad and help him make good and right choices. The same way with younger men. Don't lord it over them. Don't tell them what to do. Again, go and ask questions. Go and find out what's going on. Come alongside of them. Learn for sure what the facts are, what the issues are, and then encourage them, help them. The same way with the older women. Women do sin every now and then, not nearly, it seems, as often as we do, or at least it certainly feels like that to me. But it can happen. And again, it has been reported, it has been said that. How do you handle it? Carefully, lovingly, like you would with your mom. Come alongside, find out what the facts are, find out what you can do if something needs to be done to encourage a right, godly response. And the same way with the younger women, as you would a sister. But notice Paul adds another word here. When it comes to dealing with women, older women like you would your mom, younger women like you would your sister, what's the word he uses? He says, do it with what? Purity. You have to be careful. You have to. Mike and I have had this discussion with regards to teachers and female students, pastors and female congregants. You have to be very careful, and you have to approach them in purity. It's not always sufficient to make sure that your mind is clear and clean and that you're being careful. You still have to set up certain hedges to make sure that there's no misunderstanding between anyone. Not only what is in fact, but what it looks like. So Paul says, do it in purity. Be careful how you do this. Will you be called upon to respond, to come alongside and encourage, to challenge? Yes, it will happen. Paul, I think it would be okay if we looked at this and said that Paul simply says, watch your attitude. Watch how you do this. Paul doesn't say it, but I would suggest to you, perhaps it would be best if you remembered how you would want to be treated if the reverse were the case. Would you want to be listened to? Would you hope that the person who is confronting you is listening to the whole story, getting all of the facts? And then not wanting to push you up front and make an issue of you, but rather to simply see you redirected. Remember, the goal is always, if necessary, the goal is always repentance and restoration. It's never to make a big issue. It's to move people, come alongside, and move them in the right direction. And then thirdly, for this morning, he says, honor widows who are widows indeed. And this section does go all the way through to verse 16. So, who are widows? Who are the widows? As Paul describes them, as widows indeed. Well, I think we all know what the word means. I think Paul may also expand it a little bit. Not only women who have lost their husbands have died, but there would have also been women in the church who, as godly women, believers, their husbands have deserted them. So a variety of reasons that would put a woman in a situation, first century Rome, where she has no visible means of support. Women business persons were rare. We meet a couple in the New Testament, but they are rare. The majority of women who are well cared for are either being cared for in their father's home or in their husband's home. Now, that may seem terribly chauvinistic and terribly old-fashioned, but that's the way it was. So when a woman found herself divorced or when abandoned or when a woman found herself widowed, she very likely had no visible means of support. Now, one of the issues that's going to flow through each of these verses is she's got the church. She has her church family. They are there to support her. But Paul says, back up. Back up one step. She has no children or grandchildren. That's who the widow indeed is. Notice verse 4, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. A little hint there. Notice he says parents. Now, while this issue is about widows, and most of the time that's what this is going to be about, because husbands generally do not live as long, and women will find themselves widowed. It was certainly the case in the first century. But it is possible, families, that dad could all of a sudden be all alone and without any visible means of support. So that's hinted at there. But the point, if mom suddenly finds herself widowed, her first source of support should be her family, her children, her grandchildren. So we can flip that coin over and understand that if mom suddenly finds herself widowed and without support, children, you need to step up. Grandchildren, if you're old enough and capable, you need to step up. You are responsible for caring for them. When you do that, last phrase of verse 4, this is acceptable in the sight of God. So, ever find yourself in the position? Mom is without any visible means of support. God, what is your will for me with regards to my mother? Take care of her. Don't go praying about what God's will is. Grandchildren, you're old enough. Take care of her. That's what the Word of God says. Secondly, and this speaks to the character of the woman who is the widow indeed, she has her hope fixed on God. Verse 5. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. Let's stop there. Reflection of her character. What kind of a woman is she? Later, Paul is even going to tell us we need to look at her age and add that to the mix, but that's for another time. Look at the character of this woman. Now, this is not for children or for grandchildren. You are obligated, character or not, but for the church. A woman is truly a widow indeed. She has no children. She has no grandchildren. She has no visible means of support. So the church, realizing her situation, can ask this question: what is her character? And how do you judge her character? Is she a woman of prayer? And notice he uses two different words. Continues in entreaties and prayers, night and day. That's Paul's way of identifying an active prayer life that is not centered on me, but rather on the needs of others. This is a woman who keeps a prayer journal, who when she meets you at church, she says at some point, how can I pray for you this week? I don't have any children to take care of. I don't have any grandchildren to take care of. But I can pray for you. How can I pray for you this week? And it doesn't, as it does for most of us, go in one ear and out the other. She makes a note, maybe a mental note. Maybe she's that sharp. Maybe not. Maybe she has to write it down. But you can be sure that she's going to be praying for you. Specifically, this week, for you and for your needs. She's also going to be praying for her own needs. Perhaps she will be praying for her health. Issues that she knows, if God doesn't take care of her in a very special way, then the church will, because they love her and they're going to take care of her. But she's just one more that the church is taking care of. And while she's thankful for that, she doesn't want to need any more than she absolutely has to. And so she will pray for her own needs. She'll see as God meets them and express herself in great thanksgiving. This is the woman who, when you meet her on Sunday or during the week and you ask her how she is, she will tell you honestly. But at the very same time, she will be positive. She will recognize what God is doing in her life. She will recognize what God is doing in others' lives, because she is not the center of her life. He is, and the needs of everyone else. In comparison, or by contrast, verse 6, but she who gives herself to want and pleasure is dead even while she lives. Now, I will try and choose my words carefully, but I want to be clear. Understand. Later, Paul is going to tell us that these women have to be at least 60 years old. That aside, you suddenly find yourself widowed. You have no visible means of support, except for immoral behavior. And it's tempting. And in some cases, it's lucrative. Paul says they are most susceptible. It's not an excuse, but it does help us to understand, again, the times in which these women were living. And that's why it's so important that the church make it very, very clear that they will be there to support, to encourage. Remember, like verses 1 and 2, not to sharply rebuke, but to come alongside and encourage. It's as though she's dead even while she lives. And then Paul just puts this little note in here at verse 7, prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. That's Paul's way of saying, teach these things so that they know what's right and what's wrong. So that the widows who are in widows indeed know who they are. And know that they can go to the church and ask for help. The church already knows what is expected of them when it comes to caring for those who are widows indeed. Teach that, Timothy. And when you see a young man who's ignoring his widowed mother, don't lower the boom. Walk alongside him and say, you know, your mom has needs. If the church has to step in, we will discipline you. Because God's word says you are responsible for her, but we're not going to watch her suffer. So if you won't do it, we will, but we will discipline you because you are disregarding God's word. Now that may seem harsh, but if you've been teaching it right along, it won't surprise anybody. But again, you come alongside because the goal, again, is not to make an issue of him and his sin. The goal is to get mom taken care of and get him doing what he's supposed to be doing. Or you see a younger widow, you hear that she's struggling. She's not a widow indeed, so it's not really the church's responsibility to care for her, but it is the church's responsibility to watch out for her. And she slipped into sin. You think, you've heard. So again, with witnesses, you go and you question, you ask, you find out, you challenge, or maybe encourage, so that again, right choices are made rather than the wrong sinful choices. This passage, this first paragraph, finishes with a warning. Verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Remember verse 7, prescribe these things, repeat them, make sure the people know them. All right, here it is. You can be born again. You can be a saved and secure in your salvation. But if you ignore the needs of your parents, you're acting like your unbelieving neighbor. You're acting like that guy who couldn't care less about what's happening with mom or with dad. Because again, whether it's verse 4 or verse 8, the first line of defense is family. Family taking care of family. So Timothy, teach it, preach it, so that everybody knows what's expected. And on this issue, nobody has to wonder, what is the will of God? Because he's made it very clear. Thank you all for listening. Instead of closing our service with prayer as I normally do, I've asked our host to close this service with prayer and ask blessing on the lunch so that when you get the high sign from our hostess that it's time to begin, you may do that. Doug, please.